2025 is upon us, and it is time for some New Year's resolutions. Stay tuned. Hi, folks. Welcome back to the Pro-Life Guys podcast, a show dedicated to equipping you with the tools that you need to have compassionate and compelling conversations about abortion so that together we can change minds, save lives, and transform our culture. My name is Cam. I am the host of the show. Happy New Year's. Whether you're listening to this on New Year's Day when hopefully it's getting published, or whether you are listening to it sometime after that, hopefully you're not listening to it sometime before that. If you are, then you are part of the production team, and God bless you abundantly for making this show sound and look great. Dora, you are an absolute champ. Love the work that you're doing with the show. And we're going to have to get Maddie Halleck on the show at some point and do a feature episode on him as well. So Maddie Halleck, you're a beautiful man in every sense of the word. You are a good, wonderful man, in my humble opinion. And yeah, I hope that you guys have had a wonderful Christmas season thus far. That you had some family time, some friend time, some reflection time, some God time, the whole shebang. I hope that it's been a wonderful time for you. And we are into New Year's resolution mode. We've done this for the last number of years. I'll drop show links in the notes below from the past several years. This year, I'm going to go kind of simple. We've done focuses on personal development and training. We've done focuses on team development and training. Two things that I really want to encourage this year. I feel like New Year's resolutions are often problematic because they get way too ambitious and like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym every single day of my life for the rest of my life. And we bite off way more than we can chew. We're not realistic with our hopes and expectations. First thing, small thing that I want to suggest is build a routine that is realistic when it comes to pro-life engagement. That is not necessarily absolutely shooting for the stars. You can shoot for the stars if you want. This isn't about a competition for who's doing how much. This is about how often are we able to serve our preborn neighbors and reach our preborn neighbors. And so if you're able to join once a month, great. If you're able to join once a week, great. If you're able to join every day because you want to come on staff, great. We love involvement. And I often talk about the difference between, I think of some volunteers we have who realistically are able to come out every single day and they come out twice a week. We say, praise God, twice a week is wonderful. And we have other volunteers who are able to come out once a month, but they come out every single opportunity that they're available for. I would love to invite you to consider looking at your schedule as you're building your routines, as you're fitting in, how are you going to live healthy and happy, and ask, okay, how do I realistically build in a target and how do I optimize the number of times and the effectiveness of my pro-life outreach? So number one, build in a realistic routine. I'm not going to go into too much detail. If you want to learn more about that, reach out, email at prolifeguys.com. Hit us up. If you want to connect with our team, whether our church outreach team, our community outreach team, somebody like me who can give a talk in your community group or church, whether you want to be a part of our internship, there's lots of ways for you to get involved. I'll drop in the show notes below the Get Active component of the End the Killing website, and we would love to have you along for the ride in whatever capacity makes sense for your season of life. The bigger one that I want to talk about, and again, not being too long-winded. I know that I definitely have a propensity to being too long-winded, and I respect people's time in this, and I'm trying to get better at doing that in general, is to have 2025 as a year of relationships. I feel like in so many ways, our world is getting less and less relational. It feels like by the day. And I was really inspired to do this by a good friend and colleague of mine in the movement, Mike Schutten. I don't know if I will ever be able to articulate to Mike just how much he has meant to me and our organization. Mike Schutten is the executive director now of ARPA Canada, the Association for Reform Political Action. Mike has been an incredible mentor to me in so many ways that I feel like every single time that I am having a rough go in the pro-life movement, maybe things are really not working out the way that I had hoped, God uses Mike and he just like pops up in my life and he says, Cam, you're doing great work, or I love the work that C-Spirit is doing, or it's encouraging here when we're reaching out to people to try to advertise different programs and we get a lot of closed doors. Mike is always willing to help. Mike has been an incredible influence on my life, in my role in ministry here at CCBR. God bless you, Mike. You're a good and wonderful man, and I pray for you and your team at ARPA. I was able to join Mike and the team at ARPA a couple times this past year in 2024. And one of them was at a youth conference that I spoke at in British Columbia. And the second time was Mike coming to speak at the Pro-Life Action Conference that CSPR helped host here in Calgary, Alberta. And in both of those, ARPA has a really great focus on relationships and the role of relationships in changing the world. And so often we want to have this 50,000 foot look at our culture. We want to move mountains constantly. And yet rarely do we think about where our hands need to go on those mountains and how there are individual stones and individuals in our culture that form our culture. That society is shifted by shifting the individuals within a society and not... And it so rarely is it top-down shifting. And I feel like, especially with the increased narrative around politics and how polarized the abortion conversation and just life in general feels like it's getting, I really would love to encourage each of you to join me in making 2025 a year of relationships. And I have three different kinds of relationships that I want to encourage you to invest in. One is having a greater focus in relationships when it comes to your team, when it comes to maybe you're a leader, maybe you're a volunteer, maybe you're a participant, maybe you're a financial partner, building relationships amongst the team, because everyone has tough days, everyone has good days, and we are made to be in relationship with each other. We're made to be in relationship in ways that empower and uphold and uplift each other, sharing our good times and our difficult times. And it's good for leaders to have meaningful relationships with those that participate in their events, and that this isn't just calling through numbers and reducing our volunteers to numbers and warm bodies on street corners and not building relationships with people. It's hard as a leader to invest a lot in volunteers and have those volunteers move away or kind of fade into the background and that kind of thing. It's hard. And it's hard to build relationships and invest into relationships with people and have those relationships end up changing their dynamics because of the seasons of people's life and that kind of thing. It's worth it. Invest relationally in the volunteers, and volunteers invest relationally in your leaders, because there are a lot of days when you might be the only person who pick up the phone, and you might have 8 missed calls from your local leader. You might have 10 messages in your phone that you haven't responded to. We as leaders, we are trying to understand how busy people's lives are. And at times we're not even basing all of our hopes and dreams off of your yes. Partly, we just want people to pick up the phone and talk to us. It's tough going through a list of volunteers and having 8 voice messages that we leave and not hearing back from anybody and not knowing if we should be canceling activism or why we're canceling activism, that kind of thing. Be in relationship, talk to people, communicate, explain, hey, right now is a really busy time. I want to stay in the loop. I want to be able to talk and be a part of the team, communicate with you guys. But right now I'm just too busy to join for activism. I'm not in the mental headspace, the emotional headspace, whatever it may be, to be able to join for activism. Keep those relationship doors open and build relationships with your fellow volunteers and fellow teammates. This is something that we've really been working on here in Calgary, that at times it can be difficult for volunteers to have relationships with each other. And that puts a big burden and a big responsibility on the leaders when it's very much driven by the dynamics of relationship between leader and participant kind of thing. Whereas if we can cultivate relationships between participants and build a meaningful community of pro-life people that unite not just around defending preborn children, that will hopefully be central to the community. But building community that goes beyond that as well is going to help a lot of people get through the difficulties in their own life. I can think of a number of volunteers who have shared with me how meaningful being part of the pro-life communities, whether in Calgary, Vancouver, Winnipeg, the community groups that are launching across Western Canada, and indeed all obviously groups across Canada entirely and around the world, how important these communities are for a lot of people. Sure, you may have a wonderfully supportive pro-life family and church and friend group and all that kind of thing, and you might not need to rely upon the community of your local volunteer team, but some do. And so if we can have a heart for our fellow volunteers, that can go a long way as well. So that's one, relationships between team members. Two, having a relational attitude between and towards like-minded Christians and pro-lifers, whether they are church leadership, whether they're politicians. Mike and his team had a great bit about how policy changes and political action are driven not by brilliant and eloquent policy development per se, but so often by relationships, cultivating relationships with our politicians and having the foundation of the exchange based and built upon the foundation of relationship and how meaningful and valuable that can be. Build relationships with your church leaders, build relationships with your community group leaders, build relationships with your politicians, and have those as the foundation so that it's not just action, interaction kind of thing that you have with these individuals, but rather meaningful relationship that is built upon trust and dignified, valued, respected relationship, having that with people that we are trying to draw into the pro-life movement. Maybe you're working on your conservative or PPC member of parliament. Maybe you're working on your MLA or your MPP. Maybe you're working on your church leader. Maybe you're working with your friend to try to draw them out to pro-life activity. Have that steeped in relationship and have the foundation of that interaction and experience based in relationship rather than just based in guilt and peer pressure and all that kind of thing. Not only do guilt trips work a little bit better when you have a meaningful relationship and it's not just this person has no relational pull on me whatsoever and yet they're trying to guilt trip me into doing what they want without laying the foundation, as it were. Build relationships with the people that you're trying to convince to do good pro-life work. And lastly, and certainly not least, build relationship with those that you're having conversations with. Build relationship, invest in the relationship, because the media and our world and our culture is trying to hinder and stunt the relationships that we may have with people. They're trying to ostracize people of different opinions, and it's not a matter of just forcing our opinion to be heard more frequently, but building relationships so that our opinions are heard more meaningfully. That having relationships with our friends, with our coworkers, having relationships and building relationship with the person we're talking to on a street corner or on a doorstep, and investing into that common ground, investing into the rapport, investing into the questions that we're asking, not just to be able to respond, but to be able to understand and empathize, to be able to enter into suffering, enter into joy, enter into whatever it is that they may be encountering and experiencing. Enter into that with a relational attitude, and through that relationship, draw them hand in hand towards the pro-life worldview. This isn't about just winning arguments. It's about winning people. And so may you and the rest of us, myself very much included, allow 2025 to be a year for relationships, acting somewhat counterculturally in a world that is driving people further and further apart, and compelling people to interact in a more polarized and often far more hostile way. Allow us to be leaders in the relational revolution, as it were. I'm sure that is far grander than it ought to be. Basically, be relational. Be relational with your team. Be relational with the people who you want to be joining your team, and be relational with the people that you're meeting on street corners and on doorsteps. And in whatever capacity you are doing pro-life outreach, be relational with those that are like-minded and those who are not. I hope that makes sense. Let me know if you have questions. Send your ideas, your comments, your feedback, your suggestions to email at prolifeguys.com. It'll be in the show notes below. May God bless you abundantly, wherever you're at, however many hours are left in your day.